If you only remember one word in this story, remember this. Inevitable. There will be a test. At the stroke of 8, I step onto a bus full of fire professionals and settle in next to a man dressed in his Forest Service greens. Bill Armstrong is fuel specialist for the Santa Fe National Forest and very well acquainted with wildfire. Before we've left Santa Fe city limits, he spells it out.
We cannot keep fire out of these forests. So we've tried for 100 and some years, and now we're reaping the whirlwind, so to speak.
Armstrong is referring here to the Forest Service's century-long policy of suppressing periodic natural wildfires that would have cleared out forest underbrush while leaving big trees mostly unharmed.
The choice is not whether it burns or not, it's how it burns. And the only tool that we have to affect the number of acres is fire.
That is prescribed burns. They prevent the buildup of fuel that's behind the ragers we've seen lately, tree-destroying fires like Cerro Grande and Las Conchas. He says other techniques like thinning don't make a dent. But there are two challenges in fighting fire with fire: money and public acceptance. One of our stops is at the Valles Caldera Science Education Center, where participants learn about one program helping a bit on the money side. John Williams is ecosystem staff officer with Santa Fe National Forest.
In the past, we would do projects, little postage stamps, you know, 300-400 acres here, a little more over there. But we decided that running the numbers, we'd treat for like 500 years before we'd even make a difference. So we felt like we needed to accelerate that process.
Luckily, that's right about the time Congress passed a measure authored by Senator Jeff Bingaman to set aside millions of dollars for forest restoration on large swaths of land. A partnership between various agencies in the Jemez became one of the first recipients. Back on the bus, Bill Armstrong tells me that money may allow the Santa Fe Forest to carry out burns on about 20,000 acres this year, almost double what it's done in the past. But my cynical seatmate figures that's still only about half of what's really needed. As the bus travels between Jemez and Bandelier, Armstrong takes the mic.
Back here on this, on my left, is where the fire started.
Later, Armstrong points toward a band of mostly green ponderosas right along the road.
The interesting thing about here is you can see the trees didn't even scorch.
It's an area, he says, was essentially protected because it had seen periodic fire over the last few decades. Just behind it is a hill that had not been burned until last summer. There is almost nothing on it. The line could not be clearer. But asks one participant, how does the public feel about all this?
You know, most people don't give a damn. We live with in a society that's principally urban. Urban people are the ones that many times, you know, drive policy. And fire and forest is not high on their list. Smoke certainly is when we impact them with smoke.
The public has other reasons to be wary of forest management. After all, the Cerro Grande fire started as a prescribed burn. But Ann Bradley with the Nature Conservancy says a lot has been learned since then.
Basically years of review and people considering that and trying to improve systems. And I think the people that fought the Las Conchas fire would agree. You know, it's like the coordination is so much better.
This is the Valles Caldera National Preserve.
Bob Parmenter is the preserve scientist for the Valles Caldera.
Las Conchas fire started here and came across. You can see the burned ridgetop here.
Parmenter says a graduate student working here recently discovered that widespread fires like this are not unusual. In fact, between the years 1600 and 1900, the entire Valles Caldera burned 22 times, either in 1 year or over the course of 2 years. And he says she found something interesting about the weather patterns, too.
The year before a major fire occurred was a normal year in precipitation. That, of course, provides the moisture to grow grass, which is the fuel to burn. And then the year of the fire, following that normal or wet year, was a significantly dry year. And then if it was a two-year sequence, where half burned in 1 year and half burned the next, the second year was below average as well.
Sound familiar? A three-year cycle of wet, dry, dry? This would be the time to remember that word I mentioned at the start of this story. On the Conservation Beat, I'm Sissel Overgaard, KUNM.